Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even if you don't give her the smile, you won't be blessed, but we'll receive it anyway. Someone said the Lord loves a cheerful giver, but he will receive it. Amen. He really will. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we want to thank you. Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about a subject we talked about some time back. I want to revisit it simply because that the Lord has really opened my eyes to a truth that I haven't, it's not a new revelation, it's just something personal to me about the first love, and so that's why we're coming back to this message. And I'm going to talk to you today, since it's Communion Sunday, about revisiting the cross and rekindling the flame. Say it with me, revisiting the cross and rekindling the flame. So much hinges on not just that we serve God, but how we serve God. Amen. He wants it from the heart. He doesn't want it out of necessity. It's not just about our giving of our material blessings to the Lord. It's of our giving ourselves to Him. When Paul wants total, absolute commitment to follow Jesus, he uses the stimulant of God's mercy toward us. He just simply wants us to rekindle the flame and love Him back. Amen. That's what he's after. So Paul doesn't just start telling us that we should serve the Lord with everything within us, which we should. He begins this way. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. Before I ask anything of you, I want to point you to and focus you on the mercies of God. Can you say amen? Well, in the new covenant, those mercies are encapsulated in the cross where Jesus died. That's where we're going to see the purest, the power of the love of God and the mercy that flowed from that cross. Amen? He's pointing them directly to the cross, exactly where this communion service is going to point us today, is back to the cross. And not just to the tree, not just to the wood. The cross in the Christian faith is where Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. It's where he suffered and died for us. Can you say amen? It's an emblem of suffering. The song, The Old Rugged Cross, it says it's an emblem of suffering and shame. But to us, it is a emblem of the love like the world has never, ever known. Can you say amen? Listen to me real carefully today. It's important that we serve God for the right reasons. And that's why when God solicits our service and our heart, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, responding to that, amen, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The actual Greek is closer than that, the way it's worded from the actual words that were spoken. It connotates, which is your true spiritual worship. There's nothing we can offer him in praise here today, in singing here today, in songs here today, that will take the place of offering him ourself in totality. Amen. It's the only appropriate response to love like this. The Bible calls you and I something. God looks at us as a purchased possession, the scripture said. We belong to him by virtue of the fact that Jesus paid the price to redeem us from sin's dread sway, from Satan's prison house, and from a destiny of banishment and eternal punishment. Amen. The Bible said that we are his purchased possession and we are not our own. We right now don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. But many of us haven't given up that right to self yet and given ourselves over totally to the Lord. So Paul says to Christians, he challenges them to make that great step. See, some of us in here is devoted as we want to be. We're just devoted as we want to be. We pull God out of the hat for a crisis in our life. We put him in the back room when the crisis is over. We go on with our life with a sympathy for Jesus, maybe a respect for Jesus, but certainly not a passionate love for Jesus Christ. And the Lord is calling us to something that will hold us close to him so that he can keep us safe in a day when so many are falling away. This is the day of the falling away. This is the day when the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many would begin to wax cold, which means to cool down. That is not a message to the world that doesn't know God, doesn't know Christ. They're not responsible to love Him. They're responsible to come to Him and receive Him and then to love Him back for loving them. Love can't cool down unless it's first been kindled. It has. How many know anything that cools off has to be hot first? Amen? So we're talking about something that the church once had was a passion for God. And you didn't have to use a lot of things to stimulate people to come. Some people, all they can tell you about their church is their activities. Well, why did they always have to use activities to stimulate people? What happened to the cross? What happened to Christ? What happened to loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body? Amen? Why do we have to use other things to stimulate people? What has happened? Why can't we admit that the love of many is waxing cold? Why can't we challenge people to come for the right reasons? There's only one right reason to follow Jesus, is because you appreciate what He's done for you on the cross. Amen? It's the only right reason to follow Him. And Jesus was very strong at challenging people that wanted to follow Him for the wrong reason. One man stepped up and volunteered and said, "I will follow you." And Jesus knew exactly what was in his heart. And you know what he said? He said, "The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head." In other words, if you're really serious about following me, you've got to follow me for the right reason. You can't follow me just for the material blessing, for the temporary gratification of your flesh. You've got to see a kingdom. I am convinced there are ministers today, that hundreds of thousands of people, because of television, follow, who haven't seen the kingdom of God. Oh, Brother Venable, you hang on for a minute. Amen. The Bible said, unless you become what? Proud, arrogant, amen, self-exalting, self-serving. No, unless you become as a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You won't get it. You won't understand it. You will not appreciate it. Can you say amen? And unless you become as a little child, you cannot. Come on, I didn't write this book. I'm sorry. How many believe we ought to teach the Bible? We ought to follow His teachings. I'm going to solicit an amen, not because you like it, but because it's true. Can you say amen? It's in your book. Amen. The words of your master, not your favorite preacher. I believe your master ought to overrule your favorite preacher. Can you? In fact, my master is my favorite preacher. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. And my favorite preachers are the one that preached what the master said. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you love house, land, sister, brother, husband, wife, more than me. He said, you can't be my disciple unless you hate your own life also, or willing to lay it down. How's he going to get that kind of commitment out of people that live in a consumer-driven society? I know a man that couldn't develop a prayer life. He could not develop a prayer life. He came and he talked to me about the fact that he had no prayer life. But he told me about over 1,000 activities they were going to have in their church that year. And I thought, you don't even have a walk with God. You can't even consistently talk to God. But boy, you're proud of all the things that's going on. And why are so many things going on to attract people? Because we've got away from that should be so attractive. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen, the cross is kind of passé now. It's not in the postmodern world in the 21st century. The cross is no longer the draw. Amen. Jesus is no longer what causes people to assemble. That's why you don't see real manifestations of God in these services with thousands of people. You would think with that many people together, listen, you've got to come for the right reason. You've got to gather together, amen, in His name, for His honor, for His glory, and because of what He did at the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not for your gain, not for mine. Wow. Good thing about putting the kingdom first, by exalting the king. Amen. And the only way you can put the kingdom first is let the king have rule and right of way in your life. Can you say amen? Because the kingdom is not a mystical thing. It's the rule and the domain of a king. And the Bible said, unless you become as a little child, you can't see it. Can you say amen? Unless you become as a little child, you can't enter it. For the kingdom of God is as a treasure hid in a field. When a man finds it, he goes and sells how much? You got to see something. You got to appreciate something. You got to see the value of something to be able to give up everything, amen, in order to possess it. Amen. Today, because people haven't seen the kingdom, and I'm convinced some of them haven't entered the kingdom. You know what my Bible tells me? The reason I'm questioning leadership in ministry is because we're not teaching the kingdom and we're not preaching the kingdom as it is in the scripture. Can you say amen? We're talking about reaching the world with a message of materialism. No, that is not the message that's going to bring the Lord back. Amen. It is a particular, peculiar, precise message. When this gospel, the gospel that anybody just kind of formulates and throws out there because it's popular, no, it's a specific gospel. When this gospel of the kingdom is preached into all the world, then shall the end come. Everybody say the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is this, that you can change masters, that Satan will no longer be your master, hell will no longer be your destination. Can you say amen? When you get saved, you change kingdoms. He's translated us out of the powers or the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You change masters. No man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other. Hate one and despise the other. Love one, despise the other. Hate one, love the other. You can't serve God and mammon simultaneously. It's the only time that money has been given an identity and an entity. Mammon. It's the spirit of this age. God doesn't have a bit of problem with Israel having silver and gold when they came out so that they wouldn't be indebted to anybody. God was going to provide for them. Amen. The Bible said if you owe debts, you come into a snare. Amen. Listen to me carefully. So God brought them out. Do you remember the story of the axe head? The story of the axe head. What a tremendous story that was. The prophet's out there, and a guy is hewing with an axe, and he goes over to, there's a pool of water he's hewing near, and the axe head comes off. And it flew through the air, and it went deep into the water. And the prophet came over, and he looked up to the prophet, and he said, "Alas, for it was borrowed." I did a little research on that. And I found out that the only people in that era that had the technology during the writing of that scripture, that had the technology for iron and to make molds. The reason it was borrowed, because Israel couldn't manufacture them. So he had borrowed it. And guess who had the technology for that? Amen. The Philistines. He had actually borrowed an axe head from a Philistine man. And now he was going to be obligated to become a bond slave, to pay off the debt. He would have to go to work and serve that Philistine man. Amen. In order to pay off that axe head. Because metal was precious in that day. He said, "Alas, for it was borrowed." I'm going to have to go to work for a Philistine. Can you say amen? And there's bondage in that. Are you listening to me? So the prophet went over. He took a stick and threw it in the water. It's a type. Amen. Always when this happens, we're looking down toward the cross in types and foreshadows. And when the stick hit the water, the axe head did something. Something axe heads don't do. Amen. Amen. I would have loved to have seen it in an aquarium setting to where you could watch it laying on the bottom and all of a sudden iron starts swimming. Can you say amen? Wouldn't that be incredible? You said, "Oh, do you really believe that stuff?" Oh, you'd be amazed what I believe. I believe God said, "Let there be light." And there was a firmament in the sky and a firmament. Oh, I believe He parted the Red Sea. Can you say amen? I don't believe it was knee deep when they crossed it. Amen. I don't believe winds just, listen, I don't know how he did it. I can't figure it out. I'm not trying to figure out the miraculous and the supernatural. Amen. But I believe he created man out of the dust. I believe he blew upon him his breath, and man became what we are today, a living soul. I believe Jesus is coming back again. I believe there's a city called the New Jerusalem. Can you say amen? I believe we're going to live there forever. I believe a fish swallowed a man. And I believe a man came out of the fish's belly. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe water turned to wine. I believe a poor boy's lunch fed thousands. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's easy to believe once you see the kingdom and once you enter the kingdom. Can you say amen? I believe there are people today that have not seen the kingdom of God because there's no humility. There's no sweetness. There's no kindness. There's not even the fruit of the Spirit. We're looking at the gifts. We're always focusing on the charismata. Amen. And we should be looking for the fruit of the Spirit. Paul said, follow me as I do what? As I preach in grand crusades, as I lay hands on people, as I speak words of wisdom. No, follow me as I follow Christ. And you can't follow Jesus unless you begin to walk in love. Love for God and love for each other and love for a fallen world. Amen. The Bible said in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love even as he has walked. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. Amen. And what happens? The long face goes. Jimmy Swaggart used to say some Christians in church, their face was so long they could eat oats out of a 2-inch pipe through a long, you know. Kind of like the horse that walked into the saloon and said, God says, why the long face? I want to say that on Sunday a lot of times. I know why the long face. We're living in a fallen world. We're living in a faulty body. The pressure is on all of us. But there's joy in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And where do we get that joy from? We get that joy when we begin to appreciate what we have in Him and what He's done for us. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again so I can hear it again. Amen. Because I need to hear it too. Listen to me. There's nothing that anyone can do to me to hurt me, harm me, put me down, tear me up. Amen. That is worthy to be compared with what Jesus has done for me at the cross. Can you say amen? That means if you turn on me and you want to, and you belittle me and say everything you can about me, it will hurt me. But when I focus on my hurt, I'm going to get discouraged and depressed, and I'm going to get mad at you. Now I've got two problems, my depression and my anger. Listen to me. But when I focus on Jesus hanging on the cross for me, nothing anybody can do to me can offset the joy of what He's done for me. Can you say amen? That's what this service is for, to get it off of us and to put the focus on Him. And I'm not talking about Jesus turning water to wine. I'm not talking about Jesus healing the leper. I'm not talking about Jesus opening the eyes of the blind. I'm not talking about Jesus teaching. I'm talking about Jesus dying. I'm talking about Jesus suffering on the cross. As often as you do this, as often as you take these emblems of my body broken and my blood shed, as long as you do this, remember me. How? In particular, body broken, bloodshed. Say it with me. Body broken, bloodshed. This is not a sentimental service just to get a sentimental feeling evoked. This is to bring forth a passion for Jesus. Can you say amen? Paul put it this way. What was inside of him that kept him going through all that he faced? Because as Sean has so put it, he said, I buffet my body. And most of the time the church, and Sean brings this out, I'll never forget that. I can't even read it the same way anymore. Amen. Because the same word is used for buffet. B-U-F-F-E-T. Amen. And it depends on the circumstance. And I believe the church has read it wrong. I believe the church has read, I buffet my body and bring it into subjection. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having and enjoying a good meal. Amen. The problem is when we live our life for self-gratification. and we never come to the place of devotion that we can sing that song from the heart, take this whole world if necessary, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. What would happen if we solicited, amen, devotion because we preach the cross again? Amen. What would happen if the first love got rekindled and we didn't need 1,000 activities to get them to come? What would happen if people come if there wasn't a gifted preacher, but they came because of Jesus told us, amen, to assemble together, or the scriptures tell us to assemble together? Why? Because when we come together in His name, what happens? What happens? What happens? He said, there am I in the midst of them. Can you say amen? If Jesus is in the midst, we don't need a whole lot of other things. Amen. If He really shows up and if He really manifests Himself, the church is going to discover that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever. What would happen if Jesus just began to manifest Himself and do in our hearts and our lives and our families what He did when He walked the sandy shores of Galilee? I expect Jesus to show up. Because we don't come here in the name of the Holy Church of God. We don't come here in the name of Bobby Venable. Bobby who? Amen. No. We come here in the name of Jesus Christ to exalt Him. Hallelujah. Amen. To lift Him up and to declare that He's worthy. So Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God, by what He's done for you in Christ, and what Jesus has done on the cross, that you present, there's that willfulness again, that willingness, that right reason, that you present your body, that you reciprocate love, that you present your body, the whole of your being. Your body is the container for your soul and your spirit. Everybody say the container. Amen. Actually, your body is a bone bag that holds your soul and spirit. Pull your soul and spirit out of it, you'll find out what a bone bag it is. Amen. You can stand it up, but it's going to crumble right back down. Without your spirit and soul, it's nothing. In fact, it's going to go to dust if you leave it out very long. In time, it's going to deteriorate and it's going to break down. But your soul and spirit is eternal. When a man finds that kingdom, he gives up everything to have it. And he doesn't compare it to anything in this world or anything the world has to offer. There are those that suppose that gain is godliness. They believe this is the only way that God can show you favor. They don't know about the peace of God that passes understanding, that can't be bought with silver and gold. Can you say amen? They don't know about the joy of Jesus. Can you say amen? No, they don't know anything about the joy of Jesus. Amen. They don't have it. They don't have that kind of relationship to have that kind of joy. Can you say amen? When the joy of the Lord wells up in your heart, you've got something some major preachers don't have. Can you say amen? You know, how do you know they don't have that peace and joy? Because they got to have more of this and they got to have more of that to try to find fulfillment and be happy. When you get the peace of God reigning, you get the joy of Jesus flowing, it don't take a whole lot to make you happy. In fact, having food and raiment. Everybody say food and raiment. How many ate something today? How many expect to eat some more before bedtime? Amen. How many got up this morning and got something out of your closet? Looking from right here, I think most people put on some clothes. How many people got more than one pair of pants? Ladies and men. I mean, yeah, it's a unit thing now. Amen. I was going to ask how many had more than one dress, but I wouldn't want to put any of you men on the spot. Anybody. You never know. You just never know. Me and you red-blooded American boys, we don't have to worry about that. Give me five. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Listen, having food and having raiment and having Jesus and possessing the kingdom of God, what happens? Therefore, be content, for we brought nothing in and we ain't taking nothing out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But godliness with this element, with what? Contentment. There's so many discontent people. It is so hard to find Christians following Jesus for the right reason. Can you say amen? And there's only one right reason, and that's because you appreciate what He did for you at the cross. And you're saying, Lord Jesus, it's worth whatever it takes to follow you. Whatever it takes to follow you. This is an amazing day to be living. How many believe we're living in the last days that the Bible predicted? You read your paper, you don't even have to be a scholar of prophecy. Listen to me. One of the things that would happen is that the love of many would wax cold. How many believe the Antichrist and the tribulation is nearing? It's coming closer. The Bible says something must precede that. And it is not a sign in the world. Most people are looking for signs in the world. And most prophecy teachers, sad to say, are teaching the signs in the world that indicate the coming of the Lord is near. But there are distinct, definite signs in the church. Can you say amen? And it's the signs in the church that we should concern ourselves with right now. Not just the signs in the world. We're not talking about the frequency of earthquakes, which is hard to be proven statistically. I know what you read on the web or heard somebody preach, but you get down into the seismologists that keep a record of it. They go through cycles. And you can make something out of that if you want to, but that doesn't really affect me and strike me when there's another earthquake. Or when there's another tidal wave or some of these signs in the world and in nature. What really strikes me and what makes me want to raise up the alarm and the danger signs as well as to raise the expectation and to get people looking for the soon coming of Jesus are the signs taking place in the church. The Bible said before the Antichrist can come into power and influence, that day shall not come unless a sign in the church takes place. Not the world that is lost. The world can't fall away. They've never come into a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They can't divorce someone that they've never been married to. Can you say amen? I can divorce Pamela. I will never do that, but I could do that. You know why? Because I'm married to her. But if we never got married, I couldn't divorce her. Does that make sense to you? The word falling away means in the ancient Roman day, you know what it meant? It was the same word used for divorce. I was in covenant with my wife or my husband, but I'm breaking that covenant and I'm walking away. Amen? We're living in a day of covenant breakers. Are you listening to me? Because love isn't strong enough to hold the bond. And people will walk away rather than work it out. In leadership, right on down the line. And it is infected, not just affected, it has infected the church. Because people in the pews are saying, if she can do it, if he can do it, and they're in leadership, I can do it. That's wrong. There's a judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to stand at that judgment seat. And what man authorizes and what man says is okay, amen, it's still, God's word still stands. Can you say amen? And just because man approves it and man accepts it doesn't mean God approves it or God accepts it. And God will never give you permission because of what somebody else did. You're supposed to listen to Him. You say, well, God's still blessing them. Well, maybe that's a curse in disguise. Amen. If I'm blessed when I'm wrong and I never repent and go out of this world with my sin, that's a curse. That is not a blessing. Can you say amen? You know one of the worst curses that God could ever place upon you? To let you alone. To just not convict you. Amen. One of the strongest, harshest judgments I've ever seen in Scripture. It said because they did not, when they knew God, they wouldn't worship Him as God, amen, but worshiped and served creature more than creator. He said, therefore, because when they had the light, they seen that light, but they wouldn't walk in that light, I gave them over to a reprobate mind. They chose darkness. There it is. I won't bother you. I won't convict you. I won't try to change you. I won't try to master you. You don't want me as your master. When you knew me, you walked away from me. Want to know what marks a nation in decline or a people in decline? I'll tell you, and it's prominent and pervasive, not only in our culture, but in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Romans 1, verse 18, because when they knew he was God. They would not worship him as God, but they worshiped and served creature more than creator. He said, I turned them over to a reprobate mind. And men begin to leave their natural, normal tendency. They begin to burn. They don't just have sexual attraction. They burn in lust. Anytime you take a star, a music star, that gets caught in a bathroom in California soliciting strangers, this is not just having sexual attraction that's goofed up. This is burning in lust to where I'm willing to put my reputation. They had to close because of the people they were catching. They had to close a rest stop near 579 years ago. There was a rest stop where people pulled off, you know, when you're traveling. You've seen those rest stops on the interstate? They had to close one, bulldoze it down at the expense of the county because so many people were meeting there to solicit for sex. I used to go to Lettuce Lake and take my Bible and get, I don't know if you know where that is, it's off, but anyways, there's a bike track and I used to take my Bible and I know how you ladies feel now. It's uncomfortable. I'd be there just reading my Bible. I would take me a chair, put it by my car, get away from all things, try to think I'm out there in nature, and way over here a car would pull up. And there's this dude in this car and he's looking at me. And he's looking at me for some signal that it's okay to approach me. And there's a feeling that comes over you when someone's looking at you that way. I really don't want to be looked at that way by women except my wife. Honestly, I don't. And I certainly don't want a guy looking at me that way. Can you say amen? I'm serious. It made me uncomfortable because I'm thinking, I'm here trying to do something holy. I'm here trying to get away from the crowd and get alone with God. But where can you go from a fallen world like this? Amen. And there's somebody over there that is willing to make an encounter with a stranger that they don't know from anybody. Burning. 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 That means never satisfied. Something that drives you day in and day out and drives you to risk your reputation. A man in Plant City that was prominent in the city got caught in that bathroom that they bulldozed down. Put it all on the line. Why? Because I cannot eat, drink, think anything but sex. That's taking. That's when there's no restraints. That's when we pull out all the stops. One man who got delivered from pornography, he said, there's a byproduct even after I'm forgiven. Reconciled, my wife and I have a great relationship, but he had used that as a stimulant so long, it wasn't the same anymore. Love and attraction and it just wasn't the same. It left something, a mark upon his life. Listen to me, we're living in that kind of world, and all the preachers can talk about is how to get a better watch, a bigger car, and a bigger house. They haven't seen. I submit to you, they haven't seen the kingdom of God. They don't understand the glory of it, the preciousness of the blood of Jesus, the wonderful glory of what we're about to celebrate, his sacrifice. If they had seen it, they would be declaring it. And they're talking about the kingdom of man. They're talking about what can gratify the flesh. They know nothing of the joy in the Holy Ghost. They know the joy of golden chandeliers, but nothing of joy in the Holy Ghost. All that other joy is false, counterfeit. People are driven. So likewise, woman using the net, giving themselves to one another. What does that denote? In Rome, it denoted before the fall of Rome that Rome is never going to be defeated from without. Rome is going to be defeated from within. Crossing the internet the other day, I heard a pop song out there that said, I kissed a girl and I liked it. Well, that would be great if it was a guy. Because I kissed a girl and I liked it too. Come on, guys. Help me this morning. Did you ever kiss a girl and like it? But I can't imagine singing, "I kissed a guy and I liked it." It just don't fit. And they can try to make it an alternative as much as they want, but it just doesn't fit. None of it fits. It's the sign of a nation or a people in decline. It's saying they've rejected light, they're choosing darkness over light, and God is stepping back and letting them have what they've chosen. Not because He doesn't love them and want to redeem them. It's because when they knew Him, they knew Him. They knew He was God, but they would not acknowledge Him as God. But they worshiped and served creature more than creator. Can you say amen? Therefore, God said there, "I can't help them. I can't reach them." Can you say amen? Listen to me. We need some preachers in pulpits that have seen the kingdom and some preachers that have entered into the kingdom. Because when you are brought into God's kingdom of God's dear Son, the King comes to live within you. And therefore, the kingdom comes with the King. Amen. As far as Jesus is Lord, that is the kingdom. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wherever God is sovereign, that is the kingdom. Praise God. When I bow to Him, His kingdom has come. His will can be done in earth as it is in heaven. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right now in one county, I believe it's in California, I read on the net last night, they want to teach how from kindergarten throughout the curriculum, throughout the 12th grade, they want to teach human sexuality from kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade. And parents are saying, "You're taking away from us. This is not mathematics. This is not the 3 R's or the 4 R's. This is not education. This education should be left to the parents, not to teachers having to follow a curriculum. Not even their own conscience, but a curriculum that somebody is giving them." And within the context of that is the idea in our society of experimenting sexually and finding your own sexual identity. Can you say amen? That is not what parents teach their children. And that's not what God says. And what the world wants to do is take the kids from the influence of their parents, from the influence of God, from the influence of the church, and indoctrinate them into their own cultural ideologies. And preachers still can't see the danger and can't sound the alarm. Amen. If you want to know where they're coming from that haven't seen the kingdom and don't understand the times, turn on your television. Can you say amen? Sit back, go to the Christian bookstore and pick up the book, pick up the disc, listen to it, and you're going to hear exactly where they're coming from.
Amen.
Couldn't even stop at Easter. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the faith is in vain. Our preaching is in vain, and you're yet in your sins, and the dead are dead, and they're lost forever. That's how crucial the resurrection is. And they couldn't even stop, amen, talking about money long enough to give God glory on the resurrection Sunday. It absolutely astounded me to see what's in the letters, what church is using, what ministers are using to stimulate people instead of Calvary, instead of the cross, instead of the judgment to come. Amen? And there's a balance in my life. I love the Lord primarily. The reason I serve Him is because I love Him. But I believe it's appointed unto man once to die and after this, the judgment. And I believe there's a judgment coming. And I believe judgment has begun at the house of God in America. You said, "Preacher, why does God allow the false teachers? He allows them to so that people can have a choice." He said something. My ministry is not to try to win everybody that's chosen to follow every Tom, Dick, and Harry, lay their Bible down. Listen, my ministry is to His sheep. Amen? I'm a shepherd over His sheep, not over them, but an under-shepherd. Listen to me. Listen. He said, "My sheep. My sheep." You can claim Him all you want to, but you better hope. You better do more than hope. You better make your calling and election sure. Amen. Because a lot of people are going to claim him. Can you say amen? A lot of people are going to claim Jesus. But the Bible said many on that day when we have to stand before him as our judge or our savior, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me. You're talking like you know me. There you are claiming that you know me. But I never knew you. Can you say amen? Titus 1:16 is strong medicine. Anybody ready for some strong? Anybody think the whole gospel should be preached? Listen to Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being unto every good work abominable and reprobate. You can't have that empty profession. Can you say amen? You're not going to answer. You say, preacher, I know a church that don't preach like this. I'm going to go to it. Well, the problem is, it isn't going to be your judge when you die. Right. Nor am I going to be your judge. But there is a judge. And there's a book which is the criteria by which he's going to judge. And heaven will pass away, and earth will pass away, and all this phony Christianity is going to pass away with it. But his word is going to abide forever. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Brother Venable, don't you love me? Yes, I love you too much to let the devil rock you to sleep. I want you to wake up. If you know him, this won't bother you. If you're not sure, be sure before you leave this service today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Brother Bimba, how can I be sure? Amen. Listen very carefully. You've got to come to Jesus with no strings attached. You've got to come to Jesus for the right reason. You've got to be willing to turn your back on your sin so that he can deliver you from it. So many people haven't seen the kingdom. And so many people haven't entered the kingdom of God. They profess that they know God. And so they say, Lord, Lord, when they stand before him. And he said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I know you not. Amen. God's going to have to acknowledge you. Church can confirm you, baptize you, put you on the rolls and tell you you're fine. But only God will decide where your soul spends eternity. Heard a preacher preaching the other day, and it moved me to the core of my being. He said, you don't hear preaching like this anymore. Amen. You don't want to wait till you're drawing your last breath and discover that the footsteps coming down the hall are not coming to take you to heaven. Can you say amen? You need to be challenged now. Can you say amen? Come on. Somebody needs to challenge you now. You say, Brother Bimble, this is uncomfortable. Listen, if you're right with God, there's nothing uncomfortable about this. But if you're not right with God, it's supposed to be uncomfortable. Anybody that can make you comfortable and never challenge you is not your friend. And they don't love your soul. They care about you giving them money, but they don't care about where you're going to spend eternity. Can you say, man, I want somebody that cares for my soul. When I got saved, my pastor cared about my soul. He challenged us. Amen. I went down to the altar pretty regular there for a while. Amen. Maybe too much if there is such a thing. But I knew that 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 I knew. Amen. That if I draw my last breath, absent from the body, is present with the Lord, that I have received. I've repented my sins. I've acknowledged him as my Lord. See, acknowledging Jesus as your Lord doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect. It means that your heart is in that perfect posture, amen, that God wants it to be in. Can you say amen? Jesus is the Lord of my life. And my flesh struggles with that, but not my heart. I have no problem with him telling me to love my enemy. I have no problem with Jesus telling me to love my enemy. I have no problem listening to what he said. You know where I have the problem? In loving my enemy. But my problem isn't with what he said or what he taught or what he's told me to do. I don't have a problem with him being my master. I have a problem with my weak flesh. But in my spirit, I bow to him. And you know what? I buffet, not buffet, my body. And I bring it into subjection. Can you say amen? And I said, you know, that person does me such wrong, they deserve to get it in the neck, but I'm not going to give it to them in the neck. Lord, if it happens to them, you'll have to do it. And then he even robs me of the joy of watching them get it. You know what he said? He said, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Oh, man. Somebody come against me and God give them a good whipping, I want to say, yeah, Lord. Wow! Hallelujah! Oh! And God said, no, you can't do that either. Amen. You've got to do good to them that despitefully use you. You've got to pray for your enemies. You can't rejoice when your enemy falls. Now, I'm not talking about Miriam. See, we're talking about ego, your personal affronts. We're not talking about an enemy of Israel and God's people. Amen. Miriam did the right thing when the horse and the rider was thrown into the sea. She rejoiced. Our God is a man of war. He's defeated our enemies. There's great rejoicing in Israel. I'm not talking about our collective enemies against us nationally or as a holy nation, as Christians. I'm talking about you. What rubbed you wrong? Amen. Somebody's sick and you say, I knew they were going to. How long they been sick? Yeah. What time did they get sick? Yesterday at 3, that's when they called me. That's right. That's right. They called me and they talked so ugly yesterday at 3 and God nailed them. I knew it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No, God doesn't allow for that. Your old flesh can't do that. Can you say amen? You want to do it. You want God to get them, but you can't rejoice when you're getting. Listen, they went in and they preached, and people wholesale rejected the message. You know what the disciples did to show you their humanity? Lord, they rejected you, mocked you, called fire out of heaven. We want to watch. Amen? Didn't they want to watch? Yeah, that city and all them people in there called fire out of heaven, send the fire down and burn them up. And you know what? You know what? Isn't that human? Isn't that our humanity? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Son of Man didn't come into the world to condemn it. He came because it was condemned. He didn't came to bring fire on it. He came to save us from the eternal fires of banishment and punishment. Amen. Praise God. He said, this is not my mission. And you will never understand what I'm here for until you quit wishing that the judgment would be hastened, that you could get some kind of satisfaction out of seeing the wicked punished. Because in reality, you were wicked and you deserved to be punished. But you didn't get punished, did you? You got grace and forgiveness because that was his mission. Thank God that was his mission. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah! I love 1 John because it said, I've written these things unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know it. Amen. But it's a matter of getting real honest and sincere. This should be the most important thing in your life. And there shouldn't be anyone or anything above this in your life. The kingdom. When a man sees it for the joy thereof. Everybody say the joy of it. He sells all that he has if it takes it. That he might what? Possess the kingdom. Well, what is the kingdom? Kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It means it's nothing to do with gratifying your flesh. Can you say amen? Well, if it doesn't gratify your flesh, then what's in it for me? Oh, see, that's because you haven't seen it. If you see it, you'll know. I don't have to tell you what's in it for you. Yeah. Amen. You'll know what's in it for you. When that peace comes that passes understanding that you can't buy with $1 billion. Somebody said, if I had $1 billion, I'd buy me some. No, you wouldn't. You can buy you a house. You can buy you a bed. You can buy you booze. You can buy you drugs. Amen. The very fact that you're having to put stuff up your nose and in your arm proves that you don't have this peace. Can you say amen? That it can't be bought. Are you listening to me? Amen. Listen, but we have it. We have a treasure, the Bible said. The kingdom of God is as a treasure hid in a field. Well, we've found it, praise God. And we've sold out to the kingdom and to the King. And Jesus is Lord. No man can call him Lord just by mouthing the words. Not truly, but when we say it and the Holy Ghost bears witness, praise God. Hallelujah. And we do it by the Holy Ghost, praise God. Hallelujah. It's confirmed within us. kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. What price to know when you close your eyes. Amen. If you breathe your last breath, the footsteps coming down the hall are angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And death is not that specter in that black thing, you know, with the big sickle. Ooh, ooh, he's not coming. No, he's not coming. Bright heavenly angels are coming. Amen. To whisk you away. Amen. To the presence of God. What is that worth? Is that not worth assembling together? Is that not worth worshiping together? Is that not worth coming to God's house? Is that not a stimulant for the soul? Wow! Someone said, now Jesus' death on the cross is too easily passed over because we're so familiar with it. We no longer feel the visceral jolt of understanding what he went through. In our minds, the rough edges get smoothed down over time. So I'm going to make this statement from me. The predominant theme of Holy Communion is not just celebrating our salvation, but contemplating Christ's sufferings in our behalf on the cross. This is my body. You didn't just get a free ticket to heaven. He took our place. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. What's it worth? What was all that I did worth to you? Is it worth following him instead of them? Amen. It has to be. It has to be. The love of many would wax cold in the end time. That day will not come except there become a falling away first. And as that coldness settles in, so many people who name his name, and there's a falling away from Jesus, and the only stimulation is to follow God for the wrong reason. Actually, what is being sold in many pulpits this morning is exactly what Satan offered Jesus. It's a mirror image. He took him up to a high place and showed him what? The kingdoms of this world. And he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, it's within my power to give you what? All the kingdoms of this world. There's a message out there that mainly charismatic Pentecostal Christians have bought into. The wealth of the Gentiles, the kingdoms of this world, going to be given to us. There's a scripture about that, but it's not about here and now in the last days when we're looking for Jesus. It's about when the new Jerusalem has come down and Jesus is reigning. Amen. And the Gentile nations see all of this and they pay tribute into the holy city. It's not about you and me getting like Brad Pitt and Brangelina. Can you say amen? It's not for here and now. Any Bible scholar knows it. No wonder they get their stomach turning over when they see tens of thousands blindly following people who are using the Bible to line their pockets. And the only reason you want to follow Jesus is so you can get rich like they are. You are rich. You say, Brother Vimal, I don't have a mansion on a hill. You've got something better. You've got a dwelling place in heaven where the thief can't steal it. The moth can't corrupt it and the rust won't ever hurt it. Can you say, man, if you've seen the kingdom, you're not sweating that. You're not comparing. I'm not waiting on the wealth of the Gentiles to be given me. By the way, that's been happening for 10 years. Every year was the year of the breakthrough. I got all the letters at home say, this is your year. This is it. Amen. It's hanging over us. In fact, I got one at home. I got a book at home that says 88 reasons why Christ will come in 1988. And there's 88 scriptures in there. But there's one scripture that killed all 88 of them if somebody just read their Bible. No man knoweth the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. You can preach it's close, but you can't pinpoint it. You can't set dates, but they sow like hotcakes. Can you say amen? What happens when love waxes cold? Church had better come up with some schemes to stimulate people. Because the mercies of God is no longer a stimulant. There's no true appreciation for what Jesus did at the cross. And that's why it takes something else to get them out. So the guy that told us about the 1,000 activities within a 365-day year couldn't consistently have a prayer life with Jesus, because that's not what was drawing him or them. The 5,000 people that attended because of all the stuff that's going on. Whoa, we had a time Sunday. Great. What about Monday? What's going on in your heart Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Amen. Is there any passion for Christ? Paul said, you want to know what keeps me through all this persecution for his name's sake? The love of Christ.
Yes.
Compels me. Constrains mean compels. I'm compelled by the passion in my heart. We drove again into the neighborhood where Pamela lived. If you're in Brandon High School area, she was in Brandon Junior High, I was in Brandon High. I would come and take her bus from the junior high school. I'd come from the high school, take her bus home with her, go out Highway 60 till you're almost to Valrico, and you turn back into her neighborhood. And that's where I got off the bus. But you know where I lived? I got off the bus at her house to spend some time with her. And you know where I lived? I lived at 579 and 92. If I'd got on my bus, it would have took me all the way over to the interstate system, Interstate 4, where 579 Thanodosassa Road is. That's many miles. That's a long way. I had no motorcycle. I had no scooter. I had no bicycle. All I had are these boys right here. I may be flat-footed. I did so much walking. I had this, but you know, I looked like a hood, so nobody wanted to pick me up. And anyway, I would leave Pamela's house after I ate dinner with her and her dad and her brother and her sister. Amen. And I got my kiss. It was worth it for the kiss. I used to think about that when I heard that song. These two Australian brothers made it. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. That's 1,000 miles. That's a long way. Amen. I didn't walk that long. Can you say amen? Anyway. But I'd get my kiss and I was good to go. And I lived on the euphoria of that kiss. Walking home. Sit up. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And now when we drive it in the car, I say, what was I mean, kissing is great if it's a girl, but my Lord in heaven, this is a long way. I remember the sun going down. I remember it getting dark. I remember walking, taking a shortcut through an orange grove. And walking through that orange grove and then hearing something out in that orange grove, and then I started running through that orange grove. It didn't take much when it's really dark and you're out in the middle of an orange grove. Back then it wasn't very populated. But I thought, but I didn't consider it a sacrifice. Why didn't you consider it a sacrifice? Because I was in love with that lady. Oh, I couldn't see. I couldn't think it. Pamela. Oh, I'd write it on a piece of paper. Just look at it. Oh, her name. Yeah, hey. Hormones do kick in at a certain stage of your life. And, amen, you find out that girls are actually attractive. Amen. They're not just somebody you know. But I would write on a piece of paper, RV plus. Her name was Pamela Parker. P. And I'd look at that and I'd draw a heart. And I had a motorcycle, black leather jacket, and there I am riding this little thing with a little heart. RV. Me. Plus PP. Her. And you know what? You know what this is called? It's sweetheart love. Amen. And you know what the first love is for Jesus? As mushy as you think and foolish as you think this all is, you know what the first love was? When you first came to Christ, you were a little goofy about Jesus. You got a little goofy, didn't you? You come, Jesus, just the mention of his name. Can you say amen? That's all it took to set you off. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you were Pentecostal, you might have started speaking in tongues. Somebody be up there and say, Jesus is here. And, oh, there you go. And say, there they go again. Amen. Hallelujah. But we tolerate it because we say, that's that goofy first love. It deepens into a deeper love. But there is a first love that's passionate, that is all-consuming. And Jesus said, I want it to stay there. I want the sweetheart love to stay there. Amen. Praise God. I got scars all over my hands if you look close. But don't look close and you'll never see them. I can't see them because I don't have my glasses on. Amen. But I've been through a lot. I'm weathered. Look at a 1947 car and you'll know how old I am. Go to a car store and look for one made in 1947. You say, boy, that pastor's older than he looks. Amen. Look at that old thing sitting there. Amen. But it had scars on it. Pamela took my hand this morning and she said, that's still my Bobby's hand. Scarred and all. It's not like it used to be, but it's the hand that we held hands with so long ago. And I didn't expect that on Sunday morning on the way to church. Amen. But I'm glad that there's something. Yeah. She like my hand. I mean, something of the sweetheart love still around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe in Christendom, I still believe there's still people that would come to church for no other reason but because Jesus died for them on the cross. And I believe they'd come if they I believe they'd give if they taxed your giving. I believe they'd come if it meant that you might lose your job for serving Jesus. I believe they'd come anyway. Oh, it would narrow us down, granted, but I believe they would come. Heard this story out of Soviet Russia. It's supposed to be a true story. Back in the day of the Cold War, the secret police, when religion, particularly Christianity, was being so suppressed and oppressed in Soviet Russia, two men with automatic weapons and uniforms came in. And their uniforms wasn't the traditional military uniform. It was the particular look that the secret police had, whether they were black suits or whatever it was, but they had automatic weapons. They pulled out from under their coats automatic weapons. They burst in to a church service. And they said, everybody in here. And it was a secret service. 50 people gathered, worshiping God in secret for fear of persecution and retaliation. Soviet Russia. Anyone in here that is a follower of Jesus, you stay right where you are and don't you leave this room. But if you're in here and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to give you 3 seconds to get out of here. And about 15 people got up and hit the door and took off. Because they knew what it meant. We're busted. And when they left, they shut to the door. They put down their weapons and said, brothers, we've become Christian. But our lives would be on the line to worship Him. We wanted to make sure nobody's going to rat us out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And they embraced and they worshiped Jesus. Can you say amen? I like that. Praise God. Amen. One of these days it may get down to where the real deal is the only ones that are going to show up. But I'm going to tell you, when the real deal shows up, we're going to have a revival. And it doesn't matter the number. Is it going to make any difference? Because it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Can you say amen? How many want to be the real deal today? Praise God. Amen. Then we got to love Him back for loving us. Praise the Lord. Brother, would you come? Praise God. I used to preach first love or fall away. I still hold on to that. As she's is, and you can serve us communion. Jesus said something that always intrigued me. I want to tell it to you as we, and you can get ready for the communion song. He said something in Psalm 22:6, prophetic of Himself on the cross. He said, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people." I thought it was akin to another scripture. And I did a little research on it. In Isaiah 52, verse 24 and 25, and you can let it play, brother.